God. Amen. Let's go ahead and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Thank God for the Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Did a service. Didn't know if it was just going to be one service or not, but this is actually part 3, so keep that in mind. You can see parts 1 and 2 online. That we're calling Examine Yourself. Examine yourself, not examine others, but examine yourself. And in 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves." Amen. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Well, the faith here doesn't mean like believing God, like faith in God. All things are possible to him that believe. The faith here means the Christian standard or set or system of beliefs and ways of thinking and living. So in other words, test yourself, examine yourself to see if you are really walking in line with the way a Christian should be walking, living in line with the way a Christian should live, believing in line with the way a Christian should live. You know, the one Greek word study says this means look at yourselves carefully to find out whether you are living as a Christian should live. Look at yourselves carefully to find out whether you are living as a Christian should live. Of course, in doing this, it is possible for somebody to discover they're not a Christian at all. There have been innumerable amounts of people, you know, that have testified just in the last 150 years that, you know, I found out I was a church member, but not really a Christian. I just went to church for political reasons or social reasons or even moral reasons or just because it was the thing to do. And my parents were Christians, but as they examined themselves, they found out they weren't even really Christians, and then they got saved. Thank God for that. But primarily, this is telling Christians to examine themselves to see if they were living as a Christian should live and believing and thinking in line with Christian doctrines and beliefs. The Amplified Bible says, test and evaluate yourselves to see whether you are in the faith and living your lives as committed believers. You know, we talk about the Jewish faith or the Christian faith or the Muslim faith. Somebody even says, I'm of the Baptist faith. That means they follow what they teach and believe. Well, are you following what Christ teaches and believes? Amen. Glory to God. The Contemporary English Version says, test yourselves to find out if you are really true to your faith. And a lot of different translations I notice, they say, see if you are living in the faith. In other words, are you living in accordance with your faith? So in continuing along these lines, even this, you know, if you read on down this, Paul is talking to these people. So in this same, continuing this same theme, verse number 9 says, Paul says, for we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. And this also we pray that you may be made complete. Now, here's where you could, and thank God for the King James Bible. I think it's one of the better translations of all times. But that's where you could really get lost in Elizabethan English. King James says, we wish you perfection. Well, every modern translation in the world says wish, says we pray. Gives it a little different light, doesn't it? In other words, Paul says, we're praying for you to be perfect. And then that throws people, oh, I'm not perfect. No, we perfect means that you be complete, that you be spiritually mature. So Paul says, we're praying that you may be perfect. I'm just reading this scripture because it goes in line with what he's talking about in examine yourselves. He's saying, I'm praying for you that you'll be perfect or complete or mature. Amen. Again, to be perfect means spiritually. In the Greek, it means that you might be spiritually mature, growing and maturing in godly character. Amen. So examine yourselves. Paul says, and my prayer for you is that you would be spiritually mature, living and acting and believing like you should as a mature Christian. Well, that's my prayer for you and my prayer for me. Can you say amen? So when the scriptures tell us to do something as a Christian husband or a Christian wife, then we should examine ourselves and see if we're operating in line with that or if we're just acting and believing like the world believes. When the Word of God tells us something to do as a leader, as an employee, as an employer, as a parent, we should examine ourselves and ask, are we living in line with that? When the Scripture tells us to do something or not to do something as a Christian, are we obeying those Scriptures? And then so on and so forth. And of course, when we first started this series, I said, well, the first thing, you know, that I would check up on if I was a Christian and examining myself, and this is a good thing. This is to benefit and help us to make sure we're, you know, fully pleasing the Lord. Amen. So that we can be blessed ourselves and so that we can be a great blessing to others, so that we can serve others, which should be foremost on our minds. Amen. I said the first place we ought to check is in our love walk. Examine yourselves. Are we really, truly walking in love? What the Bible calls love, agape love, the God kind of love. Are we really walking in love and forgiveness and unselfishly and compassionately loving others and seeking what's best for them? Not just seeking what's best for them, but seeking what's best for them. You know, in one place, Paul says, don't only look after your own interests. Sure, you look after your own interests, but he says, also look out for the interest of others. You know, there's very few people that actually do that. Amen. And so we examine ourselves. See, we have to, that's all very scriptural, to walk in love, to forgive, to be unselfish, to be compassionate, to seek what's best for others. Amen. We have to be careful that we don't excuse our lack of love for others because they don't deserve it, because of the way they act or because of what they did. That's not an excuse for us not forgiving them. That's not an excuse for us not loving them. That's not an excuse for us not caring for them. Are you following me? See, we examine ourselves. Many times, you see, people are just so selfish and preoccupied with self and self-absorbed that they really, you know, number one is them and their wants and their needs, and that's what their life revolves around. But you know this? Did you notice this? Being a lover of self is one of the signs of the end times. Lovers of self. See, being a Christian means we are to be selfless, not be self-absorbed. Love is not self-absorbed. Love is not selfish. Love serves and cares for others. Can you say amen? So instead of serving and helping others, instead of serving and helping others, being a lover of self is a sign of the last days. Somebody says, you mean a Christian can act like somebody in the world? Well, have you ever met a Christian? Come on. Glory to God. So examine yourselves. Can you say amen? Well, I see when that went over real big. It always does. But we're going to move on to something you really like here. Now, a part of examine ourselves would be to test and see if we are really believing God. Amen. We're to walk by faith, you know, and not by sight. Glory to God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is how we obtain the promises. So a part of believing, of examining ourselves would be to test and see if we are really believing God, if we are really exercising real Bible faith. Because much of the time, what people call faith is not faith at all. So last Sunday, we began to look at four ways to test and examine ourselves in order to determine if we are really in faith, if we are really believing God. And this is so important because if you're really in faith, you get results every single time. Faith is a spiritual law, just like gravity is a natural law. Gravity always works. Faith always works if we really operate in faith. And we said this, in examining ourselves in this area, we need to ask ourselves, is what I believe based on and rooted in a rhema word from God? Is what I believe based on and rooted on a rhema word from God? Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. The word word there is rhema in the Greek. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. Rhema is a spoken word of God, or the written word spoken to your heart and made alive and real to you by the Holy Spirit, so that you're fully persuaded of what it says, regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what it seems like. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. I mean, it's when you don't just agree with it in your head and say, oh, yeah, I know the Bible says that. Oh, yeah, I agree with that. No. It changes the way you live. It changes the way you act. Glory, it changes the way you talk because you really, really believe it in your heart as a divine truth from God. Can you say amen? Amen. See, just because we hear some promise and agree with it doesn't mean we really believe it. We must internalize it and personalize it. It must become so real and alive to us that, like I said a while ago, we trust in the Lord with all our heart. and lean not to our own understanding. Our own understanding says, well, that's not true. Our logic says it's not true. Science may even say it's not true. But glory to God, God's Word trumps all of that. And when we believe it, it becomes so in our lives. Glory to God. Can you say amen? Amen. See, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's the only way it comes. Doesn't come in any other way. Does it come? Faith cometh. Say it cometh. It always comes. It always comes when you hear the Word, when you really hear it, and it becomes alive and real to you. So first, we must become fully persuaded that some Word of God is true or some promise is true, whether that's, you know, some people don't really believe they're forgiven, but when you believe you're forgiven based on what Jesus did for you because, you know, you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, then you are forgiven. Some people don't believe they're this or that or the other, but we are what the Word of God says we are. And we have what the Word of God says we have, and we can do what the Word of God says we can do. Psalms 119:30 says this. Now watch this. The entrance of your words give light. Now watch this, because I don't want you to miss this. The entrance of God's Word gives us light. Light means revelation. When you get light, when you get revelation, divine revelation, then faith comes. The entrance of His Word gives light. It does not say that His Word gives you light. His Word is light, but it has to gain entrance into your heart before you get light. The entrance of His Word, which is light and truth and revelation, when it gains entrance into your heart, gives you light and revelation and faith. And as we listen to the Word of God, whatever Word of God it is, whatever promise it is, as we listen to it and attend to it and keep it before our eyes, it will gain entrance into our hearts. Faith cometh. It always cometh. There's no such thing as faith not coming. But it doesn't come while you're watching Andy Griffith. I like Andy Griffith. It doesn't come while you're watching the Braves. I really like the Braves. But it doesn't come while you're watching the Braves. And I really, 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 really like the Georgia Bulldogs. But it doesn't come while you're watching the Georgia Bulldogs. It doesn't come because you come to church. It doesn't come because you heard the truth one time. It comes by constant, by continually hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the truth of God's Word. It'll explode, come alive in your heart as a divine revelation. Amen. Say, faith cometh. Amen. I'm saying that this morning because I read something by a lady in a minute I'll tell you about that really, you know, the Passion Translation says, Psalms 119:30, break open your word within me until revelation light shines out. Break open your word within me until revelation light shines out. Glory to God. Dr. Lillian B. Yeomans was a medical doctor. She was a practicing doctor and a surgeon. Turn of the century, last century. She was healed. I mean, she was near death. She was pathetic looking. She was just a bag of bones. And, you know, she's a doctor, and all her professional people cared about her and loved her and had tried to help her for years. But she was at death's door, and she was going to die. She was hooked on what we would call today opioids. I don't know if that's opioid or not, actually. She was actually hooked on morphine as a medical doctor. She took morphine and chlorophyll something. It's what they call knockout drops when they're trying to put somebody to sleep. You know, because she was taking these things as a medical doctor to get some relief and to calm her nerves down for her to be able to sleep. Well, she became totally addicted to narcotics, the way we used to say it, you know, to drugs. And she was bound that way. She's a total slave to drugs for years on end. Now, you may know her because she wrote some tremendous books on faith and healing. But she became the quintessential drug addict. I mean, she craved for them. Totally a slave, totally bound. And she said, I made, you know, close to 60 attempts to free myself. You know, tried as a medical doctor, tried to bring herself down and tried to do without drugs and went through hell. She took the best known cures of her day, every one of them, all of them. Doctors, friends tried to help her. Medical people tried to help her. She went to several different treatment centers to try to get help, but was no better. She understood Edgar Allan Poe's poem, you know, about the raven, you know, just standing there evermore, can't get rid of it. You know, it's just there. And she says, I understood that poem. She says, I was in the pits of hell. But she got no better. And as time went by, her health deteriorated. She's nothing but skin and bones. Everyone that knew her expected her to die. And she came right down to death's door, but then was healed and delivered by the power of God. Can you say amen? Now, somebody didn't come along and cast the devil out of her. She didn't go through any spiritual program. All those things can be right and can be good. But her testimony is that she had been saved as a young woman, but she had backslid. And so she got back with the Lord. Amen. And this is what she said, her word. She said, I plunged into the Word of God and I devoured it. Don't miss it. I plunged into the Word of God. Scripture's own healing. Scripture's own deliverance. I plunged into the Word of God and I devoured it. You know, you're going to go to lunch today, but you're not going to sit down and probably sit down and just eat like a pig, hopefully. Yeah. I mean, you're going to enjoy your... But I mean, she ate the Word of God like a pig. She devoured it. She's thrilled with it. She's hungry for it. And she said, I got so thrilled and full. Everybody say full. Now, why'd she get full? Because she was thrilled. Because she was hungry. Because she did plunge into it. Because she did devour it. She said, I got so thrilled and full of the Word of God and so certain of its truths. See, faith, as its basic root meaning is, faith means you are fully persuaded of something. Remember, it says of Abraham, he was fully persuaded. You're fully convinced of something. You're fully, fully persuaded. If you're not fully persuaded, you're not in faith yet. Fully persuaded, fully convinced. She said, I lost interest in any of my symptoms. People ask all the time when you teach along these lines, what's the difference between me just knowing what the Word of God says and agreeing what the Word of God says, what John Wesley called mental assent, what we call today just mentally agreeing? What's the difference between just mentally agreeing with the Word of God and real faith? Well, you can say it 1,000 different ways, but I think when you get so full of the Word of God that you just lose interest in your symptoms, that you've arrived. But what the Word of God says to you is more real than anything around you, then you've arrived. She said, God's method of bestowing faith is through His Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Then she said, take notice that it cometh. And that's what struck my attention. That's why I was emphasizing. It comes. It comes. It's released through words. It's released through actions. But that only comes one way. It grows as you put it to practice against the temptation and test and trials of life. But it only comes one way. It comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word, the Rhema of God. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I said, it comes. And when it comes, your faith in God's Word will set you free. I don't care what it is. It will set you free, spirit, soul, and body. Well, after that incident, you know, people tend to emphasize... She saw in the Word of God for herself. She saw like the woman with issue of blood. The woman with issue of blood, you know, Jesus turned to her and He said, your faith made you whole. You came to Me in faith, and that's why you got healed. I didn't come to you. I didn't even know. Jesus said, who touched Me? He didn't even know who was in the audience. Isn't that right? And so she said, I saw that if her faith could make her whole, my faith could make me whole. Say, my faith can make me whole. Thank God for special manifestations of the Holy Ghost and gifts of the Spirit and so forth that just suddenly happen to help people and set people free. We believe in that. We thank God for that. But you know, that doesn't happen for everybody. But anybody, like the woman with the issue of blood, can touch the hem of His garment in faith and be made whole. And so she understood that. She realized that. And so she taught faith and healing for the rest of her life. She began to do that. Eventually, she and her sister bought a home. They called it a faith home. Every modern day, you know, there's some local churches that they have healing classes. They have healing school. Or Rhema, you know, has healing school every day on the campus at Rhema, Monday through Friday. People from all over the world come where they do nothing but teach you on healing. Well, it all goes back to people like her, you know, 50 years before that, 100 years before that. She called it a faith home. Because what they would do was they could only take three or four people. Now, she's a medical doctor. Her and her sister ran this home, and they would take in three, sometimes four people. You know, had room for that many. That's as many as they could take care of. And they only took in people that were incurably ill. They only took in people who medical science had given up on. They only took in people who were terminally ill. And Dr. Yeoman's testimony was, we very rarely ever lost one of them. In other words, we almost in every case got them healed. Now, she's going to tell one story that I'll tell you here, and that'll be, you know. But this particular story, even before she had this faith home, what she did with this one lady, she did hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times with people over and over and over again with results. You follow me? So she's got this faith home, only take in those that medical science can't help anymore. So because even though she's a doctor, she's not practicing medicine anymore and doesn't have a license in her state, but she's still a doctor and understands things medically. And so she knows the only thing we can do is to get faith in them and get them healed by the power of God. And so one lady had been on the waiting list a long time. You can imagine they had a waiting list if you're having that kind of success. So one lady came to them, brought by an ambulance to the home, and she had TB, tuberculosis. Well, the Bible, you know, in the Old Testament talks about consumption. Anybody ever heard of consumption? Well, my grandparents would have never said TB. They would have said consumption. Amen. Consumption or tuberculosis was one of the curses of the law. And so she came in with consumption. She came in with TB and brought by ambulance. And in those days, you have to understand, TB, if you had TB, that was like cancer today. When people had TB, it's pretty much a death sentence. I thank God because of medical advancements. You know, that's not around so much today and very treatable today, but not back then. Once you got consumption, once you got TB, you were pretty much going to die. And so Dr. Yeoman said, I examined her, and she was so near death, she said, had I still been practicing medicine, I would have immediately given her a stimulant for her heart because she's so close to death. And so she said, we got her upstairs and got her to bed. And she said, once we got her comfortable, I begin to read scriptures to her from the Bible. Faith cometh. The only way we're going to get this lady's healed, medical science can't help her, is through faith. All things are possible to him that believes, but you got to get her to believe. And so she said, I read scriptures to her for 2 hours from one end of the Bible to the other on healing, all these healing scriptures. And she said, I read the entire chapter of Deuteronomy chapter 28 because this is one of her main methods. Why is she doing that? Deuteronomy 28 in the Old Testament are the curses of the law summarized. You're familiar with that. Amen. All the curses of the law that would come on people if they didn't walk with God, if they lived in sin, if they lived in disobedience. But, you know, Galatians 3:13 says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us when he hung on the tree. That's Calvary. So she read all the curses of the law. She particularly read it to this lady because Deuteronomy 28:22 says that consumption or TB was part of the curse of the law. Specifically name that disease. A curse of the law that Jesus redeemed us from. If he redeemed us from us, then you don't have to have it anymore. So a curse of the law was TB. Actually, as you study that out in the Hebrew, it really has to do with any lung disease. It literally means wasting disease, particularly of the lungs. You know, COVID wastes people's lives, wastes them away, and TB and influenza and the flu and pneumonia and tuberculosis and what we used to call emphysema, today COPD, all of that's under the curse of the law. Besides that, as you read on down in Deuteronomy chapter 28, around verses 60, 61, 58, right in there, it says, every sickness and every disease is under the curse of the law. Amen. So she read that to her. Did you notice that? The curse of the law. You know, telling this lady, your sickness, your disease is specifically mentioned as a curse of the law. But then she would read to her, but Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed you. What does it mean to be redeemed? It means the price has been paid that you might go free. It means you've been set free from something. It means you're delivered from something. It means you're rescued from this. Christ has paid the price that you can go free from this, so that you can be healed of this, so that you can be delivered from your enemy or whatever it is, rescued from it, protected from it. Amen. And she explained it on the cross. Jesus purchased her freedom from her curse, including tuberculosis. So she said to her, and so I'm saying to you, you're redeemed, you're rescued, you're delivered of TB because of what Jesus did for you on the cross. And so she and her sister would take turns, and they would read scriptures to her. And every time they would go over that with her and tell her that. And after she hadn't been there very long, they told her, they said, listen, this is what we want you to do every waking moment. You need to be serious about this. You're dying. You need to do this every waking moment. I want you to constantly say, they said to her. See, faith is released through word. I want you to constantly say, according to Deuteronomy 28:22, TB is a curse of the law. But Galatians 3:13 says Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, so Christ has redeemed me from tuberculosis. And that makes sure she understood that. You understand what I want you to say? This is what I want you to say. I want you to say it over and over and over and over. Well, you know, the next morning they met with her and talked with her because they're going to read scriptures to her again. And they said, did you quote what we told you to quote? Did you say that? She said, it seemed like I didn't sleep 10 minutes all night long, but she said, it doesn't mean a thing in the world to me. And so they, again, faith comes. It only comes one way. Again, they read scriptures over and over and over to her, read the entire chapter of the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, pointed out to her. The verse 22 says that her particular disease was particularly named, amen, that it was a curse of the law, but that she was redeemed from it because of what Jesus did for her at Calvary. Glory to God. And they kept reading to her, and they kept telling her to keep saying that out loud to herself, keep repeating it. Now, you know, she couldn't even hardly talk. She's so weak. She's so close to death. She could just barely talk above a whisper. So they asked her later that afternoon, are you saying that? She said, I must have said it 10,000 times, but it's not doing a thing for me. It doesn't mean a thing to me. It's not helping me. Well, that went on for 2 days. Again, they went in there the next morning and told her, same thing, told her to keep at it. Then around noon of the second day, her and her sister, you know, they went downstairs. These ladies are upstairs, or people are upstairs that they're ministering to because they want to prepare lunch for them and so forth. And they could hear some commotion. Now, you understand, all their patients are bedfast. Do you ever knew your kids were out of bed because you could hear commotion? You know, you could just hear commotion, amen? Especially as they get older. And so they heard footsteps and they heard commotion and they're wondering, you know, everybody's up there near dead. Who's doing this? Who's out of bed? And this person was obviously running. And this lady that they had been ministering to came running down the stairs. I mean, she's charging down the stairs. And she's yelling before she could only whisper. And she's going, Dr. Yeomans, Dr. Yeomans, Dr. Yeomans, did you know that I'm healed? Did you know I'm redeemed from the curse of the law? And she said, yeah, that's what I've been trying to tell you for 3 days almost. And she was healed, totally healed by the power of God. Oh, glory to God. But what happened? The word gained entrance into her heart. Faith cometh, and faith came. But it didn't come because she was up there just feeling sorry for herself. It came as she meditated in the word of God and confessed the word. One of the definitions, you know, of the word meditate in the Old Testament is to mutter or to recite. Mutter the word to yourself. My God supplies all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My God supplies all. My God shall supply. He will supply. My God shall supply all my needs. See, you're muttering to yourself. Recite the word to yourself. And so the word gained entrance into her heart. It became a rhema word. She got a revelation. And then when she did, she believed. And her faith in God's word and in the promises of God raised her off that deathbed. And it works the same in every area as it does for healing. So find scriptures that deal with your particular situation. Feed on them. Constantly meditate on them. Recite them over and over to yourself until they explode in your heart as a divine revelation. No sense trying to stand on the word and act on the word and confess the word until you first really believe the word. You follow me? It's interesting, we'll close with this. Dr. Yeoman said that when she and her sister would pray together, her sister would often sing spiritual songs and hymns and psalms. Say, what do you mean a spiritual song? Well, you do have a Bible, don't you? Ephesians 5:19 is Ephesians in the New Testament. Is it written to New Testament Christians? It says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16 says, admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Spiritual songs and hymns are songs or poems given by inspiration of the Spirit. In other words, you know, it's not one you got out of a songbook. Have you ever been praying in tongues and you start singing to the Lord? Amen. And you could sing a song in other tongues and then you could interpret the song. Telebe do la manini. Oh, I love the Lord, you know, He has set me free. Glory to God. Of course, you know, anytime somebody does a song of the Spirit, sometimes the choruses, we don't sing choruses to them, but sometimes some of the old choruses we used to sing were originally songs of the Spirit where somebody just all of a sudden, by sudden inspiration, began to sing a song. See, prophecy. What is prophecy? Prophecy is inspired utterance in a known tongue. Of course, you could sing a song, like I said, in other tongues, and then you could interpret what you sang. That'd be the same thing. So she said, sometimes when my sister and I were praying together, he said she was given to this and given to songs, and sometimes she would sing a song by prophecy, and sometimes she would sing in tongues, and then sometimes she would sing the interpretation. Well, Dr. Romans wrote those songs down, put them in a hymn book, you know, psalms and hymns. She called it something, I forget now, but they were all given suddenly by inspiration of the Spirit of God. One of those songs, based on what we're talking about this morning, Galatians 3:13, said this, given to her by her sister, said, was this, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law as He hung on that shameful tree. And all that is worse is contained in the curse, and Jesus has set me free. Not under the curse. Jesus has set me free. For sickness I have health, for poverty wealth, since Jesus has ransomed me. See, poverty and lack was part of the curse. Christ paid the price of the broken law. He paid the whole price for me. God saw not one spot, not blemish or blot in the Lamb that was slain for me. Do not abide in the ancient days, ere ever the Lamb was slain. Take that which was given as freely as heaven and join in the glad refrain. Not under the curse. For sickness I have health, for poverty wealth, since Jesus has ransomed me. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. Glory. Stand up with me, everybody. Stand up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Listen very carefully. Listen, we're almost through, but listen very carefully. This is important. Confession activates and releases your faith. Hearing yourself speak the word is extremely dynamic because faith cometh by hearing. And when you hear yourself, faith comes. So listen, felt very impressed by the Spirit. If there's anything wrong in your body, because even though we didn't go to those scriptures, you're familiar with it in Deuteronomy, it says that it mentions fevers, it mentions consumption, it mentions all kinds of things. But it says every sickness and every disease, even those not named, that He specifically named, that will ever be known to man, in other words, is under the curse of the law. So if something's wrong with your body, I want you to name it in your mind right now, whether it's you know, fever, back pain, problems with your heart pain, whatever, blood disease, cancer, high blood pressure, ear problems, arthritis, whatever it is. If there's nothing wrong in your mind, just focus in your mind now, every disease. But if something is specifically bothering you in your body right now, no matter how great, no matter how small, I want you to give it a name. It has a name. It's back problems, it's back pain, it's pain here, pain there, or it's called, you know, this disease or that disease. Give it a name. Everybody got the name? And when we get to that part where I say name it, I want you to name that specific problem, or you can just say every disease, all right? So say this out loud with me. Say, according to Deuteronomy 28, every sickness and every disease is under the law. Now, name whatever it was. when I say, well, I'm going to say every disease, name it, name it, name it to yourself, name it, name it. Now say this, is under the curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore I confess, I'm redeemed, I'm healed from the curse of, now name it. Amen. Say it again. Let's do it again. According to Deuteronomy 28, every sickness and every disease is under the curse. Now name it. And say, it's under the curse. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore I confess, I'm set free from the curse of, now name it. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. You know, if you read Deuteronomy 28, it makes it very clear, extremely clear, that part of the curse that Jesus redeemed us from was financial problems, financial lack, poverty. Really, anything less than you not being abundantly provided for is under the curse of the law. So let's all say this together. Say, according to Deuteronomy 28, lack. Financial lack is under the curse of the law. But Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. So I am redeemed from the curse of financial lack. You know, being defeated in life, is anything defeating you? They said they would be defeated by their enemies, was part of the curse of the law. But every enemy, every battle they ever fought is just a type and shadow of the real spiritual battles that you and I fight. Every physical enemy they fought is just a type and shadow of our real enemy, the devil. You are not supposed to live in defeat. You're supposed to overcome in life. I've come that you might overcome. And so anything that's defeating you in life, amen? How about this? No, I'm not going to say that. Yes, I am. Anything that's kicking your butt, you've been redeemed from it.
That's right.
Say this out loud with me. According to Deuteronomy 28, defeat and failure is under the curse. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I confess I'm redeemed from the curse of failure and defeat. You know what else is under the curse? The blessings were health and prosperity and promotion, victory over your adversaries, God's favor, fruitfulness, productivity, success, supernatural provision. The curses were failure and defeat. Oppression of are you being oppressed by anything? Oppressed in your mind, oppressed in your body, oppressed with this or that or the other. That's all under the curse. Poverty, lack, humiliation was under the curse. Not being fruitful. I want to be fruitful in life. Because being fruitful for me, just like it should be, means I'm doing my part in the kingdom of God. I want to be productive in my part in the body of Christ to help other people. And, you know, and successful as well. Unfruitfulness was part of the curse. Mental, emotional problem. Every mental, emotional problem was under the curse of the law. But Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. Sickness and disease, destruction, trouble and breakdown of the family. That was the curse. But you've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Now, some of these things we were mentioned, but say these others with me. Say, praise God, according to Deuteronomy 28, oppression is a curse. Humiliation is a curse. Mental emotional problems are a curse. Not being fruitful is a curse. Destruction is a curse. Trouble and breakdown in the family is a curse. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed from the curse of the law. So I confess, I am redeemed. I'm set free. I'm delivered from all these curses. In Jesus' name. Now, whether it was healing, whether it was failure, whether it was finances, whether it was any of these other things, why don't you just do something that faith always does if you're really in faith? Why don't you just praise God and shout a little bit because it's true in your life. It's true in your life that you're healed. It's true in your life that you're delivered. It's true in your life that you're free. It's true in your life. Sin now has no dominion over you. You're delivered from all of these evil things because of Jesus on the cross at Calvary. Praise Him and worship Him and thank Him for it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We praise You. We praise You. We praise You. We praise You. Glory to God. I'm redeemed. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody says, well, I'm not redeemed. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Well, you can be. He died on the cross for you. Heaven won't be the same without you. Yeah, hell is a real place and heaven is a real place. Amen. I said heaven is a real place and hell is a real place. And those that end up in hell will be eternally separated from God the Father and from Jesus and from their loved ones. And they will experience, according to the Word of God, torment and anguish for all eternity. So there is a hell to miss and a heaven to gain by accepting Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior. He redeemed you, but it does you no good unless you appropriate it or receive it or accept what He did for you by faith. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Everyone, nobody's looking around. I'm not going to call you to the front. This is between you and the Lord. Amen. All you have to do is be sincere and mean business, and Jesus will meet you right where you're standing, and today will be the best day of your life. So if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not redeemed from these things because you haven't by faith received Him, accepted Him as your personal Lord and Savior. Right now, if you would like to do that, lift your hand high for me, please. Let me see it. Amen. Or heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed. If you're like Dr. Yeomans, who got saved but had backslidden and got away from the Lord. Oh, when you read her testimony is so sad because she said, why did this happen? And she said, it was my fault. It was my fault. It was my most grievous fault that all this happened to me. And so in a backslidden condition, the door's open to the devil and he can do things to you that you don't want to happen. But if you're backslidden, not walking with the Lord as you should, and you want to come back to the Father's house like the prodigal of old, not going to call you out, going to pray with you right where you're standing. If that's you, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, would you lift your hand for me and let me pray for you? Amen. Amen. I see him. I see him. Thank you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Anyone else want to join these? Thank you. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm so glad they sang "Just As I Am" over and over and over again the day I got saved when I was 9 or 10 years old, because I didn't respond immediately, but when I responded, the floodgates of heaven broke open and changed my life forever. Aren't you going to look at me? We're going to say a prayer together. I want you to pray it out loud so that you can hear it with your own ears. We're all going to pray this prayer so that you'll feel comfortable. Glory to God. And I'm going to pray the specific way the Lord leads me as a pastor to pray and have an understanding of the Word and by the Spirit of the particular way we need to pray this morning. Glory to God. Let me just say this to you. Always get back up. Don't let the devil condemn you because you failed and failed and failed. Always get back up. Deliverance and victory is available to you and for you. So say this out loud. Say, Heavenly Father, I'm a Christian. Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. I believe that. I confess and say, I am saved. Because I believe and I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But I haven't lived for you like I should. Recently, I've made some mistakes. And right now I ask you to forgive me. You said in your word that as a Christian, if I would confess my sins, you would forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I believe that you do. Has nothing to do with how I feel. It has nothing to do with my thoughts. It has to do with I believe your word. Your word says I'm forgiven. So I am forgiven. And I forgive myself. Now, Holy Spirit, help me to see what I need to see to walk in the light and to be the blessing and the person that you've called me to be. In Jesus' name. Now praise Him and thank Him for that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Why don't you just lift your voice? You know, the Bible talks about not doing these things out of order where people are ignorant of these things. But even if you don't speak in tongues, and most of you do, you're not ignorant. Why don't you just lift your voice and sing to the Lord right now? Why don't you just sing in other tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance? Bless His holy name and worship Him. Bless Him and worship Him. Hallelujah. Karatu lavamani sididiyando. Sididiyando. Barata lavaboro. Karata dididi. Manananando logo radigi. Manda lavabagurande di. The Lord says, be open to interpret back what you've been singing to yourself. Amen. Have a ball. Nobody will know it's your message, just you and the Lord. Sing to the Lord this morning. Worship Him and praise Him. Tell Him that you love Him so. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You want to know if you're new here, why we don't do much clapping here? It's because the Bible emphasizes lifting your voice to God and praising God with your words. The sacrifice of praise, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks unto God. We clap to the beat of the music. We can clap to the Lord. But you know, the Bible only mentions the word clap five times. Two times, it's like you make a good play and you knock somebody down in football and you clap in derision. Well, that's not talking about praise, is it? And if you do that in a football game, they might throw a penalty on you. But you know, two times the word is clap. Two times it's talking about inanimate objects clapping to the Lord. And one time it says, oh, clap your hands to the Lord, all ye people. You know, I will sing of the Lord, praising and worshiping Him. Amen. But the body of Christ just got kind of clap happy. Somebody would be prophesying. You wouldn't even understand what they were saying because everybody was clapping. And so and it's so hard to get people to do it. But you know, have you ever, you get a card. I got a card from you guys the other day. Beautiful. And the card's really nice where those professional people write those little sayings. And some of those things are real good. But you know what really gets your attention? What the people personally write to you. How many of you know what I'm talking about? When you worship God with your words, that's like you writing at the bottom of the card. And when people worship and praise God and talk to, lift your voice. See, hundreds of scriptures that tell us to praise and to worship and to shout and to sing and to rejoice. Glory to God. And I'm telling you, dynamic things happen in the realm of the Spirit when you can get most of the crowd doing that all at once. Amen. 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 Say, I'm redeemed because of Jesus from every curse of the law. And I thank God for it. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We love you. We love you. We love you. Go rejoicing in God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glad that you were with us online. Praise God. Hallelujah.